We've reached the end, and now we know the matchup for Super Bowl LIV. And we're here to discuss it, folks. This is the Push Off. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend while getting you ready for the next. I'm your host, Scott Ogan, sitting across from the table from me as always.
Dan Super Bowl Liv Tyler. Right.
Ah, nice, Dan. Yes, it is Super Bowl LIV, Super Bowl 54.
I've been watching a lot of Lord of the Rings recently because, you know, you got to watch it once every 3 years. And also Rescue 911 Austin.
That's right.
Rescue
That's
Lone
her
Star.
New one.
I was like, holy shit, Liv Tyler. She's still looking okay.
Because we had Rob Lowe at the game.
Yeah.
The Packers and Niners game. And they shoot him the picture of him in the sidelines wearing the NFL hat.
Yeah, the most nondescript fucking hat in the world.
The internet's blew up because of that. But he was
Rob Lowe, I just like the football. What?
Well, you know they just handed him that hat. Like, you're going to be on TV for the game.
Yeah, the worst part is it's like, dude, you don't... Like, the NFL, no one is actually a fan of the NFL.
No, and you don't buy that stuff.
Yeah, you are a fan of a team in the NFL, which is why you like the NFL. That's some bullshit to be like, nope, I just like the NFL. Are you a referee? Get that fucking hat off, Rob.
This is mine. Go referees, go NFL. But as soon as it happened, it was like everybody's talking about it. So what a nice little thing to bring everyone together. And that's what happens in these weekends, like championship weekend, where everyone's watching the same game. All eyes are on the TV. You know, we're going to catch football some way this Sunday.
Well, oh, hell yeah.
It's going to be these games because it's the only ones on.
Yeah, this is like a weird week. Because
yeah.
I actually do love the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge.
That's right. We'll get that.
And we've said it every year, and I will say it again. Until the NFL moves the Pro Bowl to a 7-on-7 flag football game, none of the stars will play.
The game itself, silly. The people getting invited now, absurd. It is what it is, and nobody really...
Kenny Galladay's a Pro Bowler, everybody. Kenny Galladay had a good year.
Yeah, not bad.
Is Kenny Galladay a Pro Bowler, Scott?
In
your mind, when you think of the word Pro Bowler?
How many people said no? And then let me see where Kenny Galladay is on that list.
Yeah, where are you on the list? Like, think about if, you know, you're in college and some girl is like, you know, she's at your frat, you know, and she's like, these are the three hottest boys in the frat. And you're not on the list.
Oh, wait a minute. This doesn't sound right.
No, this is my experience. If I went to a frat. Not you, Scott. You're number three. You're everybody's top three choice.
I gotta be top three.
So even if those three guys all get mono or chlamydia, as they are wont to do as frat boys, and that girl eventually picks you, in your mind, you know you were never top three.
Ooh.
You know it. You feel it. You might be dating that girl, but you're not top three. She knows it. You know it. Just deal with it.
I don't know, though. If you're dating her and you're not in top three, it means you're doing pretty good for yourself.
Well, that's the advantage of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
These guys are like, hey, I'm still dating her. She's still the hottest girl in school. I wasn't a top three guy, but they dropped out. They didn't want her. I'm taking it. I'm cleaning it up.
Yeah.
And it used to be better when you got a trip to Hawaii.
Instead, you get a trip to Orlando, right?
I'm going to Orlando next month. I don't want to besmirch Orlando before I go.
Let us know, if the Pro Bowlers tear it all up this weekend. But we got to see the AFC and NFC title games, the championship games, which is what we want to talk about this week, as that will head us up to the matchup of Super Bowl 54.
It's a good one.
The weekend of games, not bad, but also not great. After last year's games that were so amazing, both
I overhyped
of them,
this. You know, usually the NFC and the AFC championship games are the best games of the playoffs.
It's dependent on what you say. Like, a lot of people think divisional round because those are, you get the most games. You get Saturday and Sunday games, and those are the top eight teams at least. But you're right, top, I mean, you're down to the final four.
Yeah.
These are great teams.
Two best teams each conference, you know, as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
In this one, it was like, oh, right, one of these teams is clearly better than the other.
Yeah.
And you got to give it up to the Tennessee Titans.
Which is where we're going to start. The Titans lost to the Chiefs 24-35. But game was close, and it, again, started fast for the team against Kansas City. This week it was the Titans 10-0.
This is, and the funny thing is, this was the best week I've ever had in terms of picking the way the games are going to go.
Well, there's now, only two games.
I was two for two, but I picked them to a T. We were talking about, oh, well, you got to keep, you know, you're going to have to score. I was like, you have to score because these Chiefs are going to score on you no matter what. I don't care how good your defense is.
Right.
And the Tennessee Titans did the thing you needed to do. They went out to a 10-0 lead.
And they controlled the ball for the first quarter.
Did really, really well. Yeah. But then the Chiefs went, oh, right. Patrick Mahomes is the reigning MVP.
It was shortly after Kelly catches the touchdown. He's the heaviest player to ever catch a touchdown.
Which is a great stat to have.
321 pounds, yeah. But from that point, you're like, oh, hey, Tennessee came to play. That sounds great. And then it all turned on its head again. And again, by halftime, Chiefs had the lead. It was 21-17 by then.
I mean, once the Chiefs had the lead, the Titans kind of knew it was over.
I guess what was nice was Kansas City got the touchdown after down 10-0. And then the Titans had a nice long drive and answered. And it was 17-7.
Yeah.
So that was impressive where you go, when the Texans decided that's all we could do, that was all they could do against Kansas City. Titans kept going. Titans kept in this game until pretty much second half. I would almost say I felt like it was over when Mahomes ran in that 24-yard run.
Yeah,
like, scramble.
When he did that, it was two things that were demonstrated in that run. Number one, Tennessee's defense was fucking gassed.
Yeah, they weren't going to tackle Mahomes.
And two, Pat Mahomes is too good for you to handle right now. Like, even if your defense wasn't gassed, like, shit,
Pat
what are you going to do?
Led his team in rushing, which is impressive. He's finally healthy to move with the legs, and that adds a whole nother phase to this Chiefs offense that's very scary already. So, yeah, perfect timing for him to come healthy.
Yeah, the Chiefs were the best team in the AFC offensively all year.
Yeah, yeah.
If Pat Mahomes was healthy this whole year, maybe we are talking about the Kansas City Chiefs as the number one.
We could be
team
talking about back-to-back MVPs for Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
If he was healthy the whole season.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, without that knee injury, which even when he came back from the knee injury, he wasn't full Pat Mahomes.
Right.
You know,
for
this
a few
is,
weeks.
This is full Pat Mahomes. This is the guy putting on the fucking show.
Yeah.
This was impressive as shit, man.
So there was that. And then in the second half, that deep Watkins touchdown basically to bury him. I rewatched that because I'm like, how far did Mahomes throw that? Because it was a jump pass. His feet were not set at all. Just flinging it while his feet are in the air 50 yards. Just on stride was like, this is unbelievable. If he can do that, good luck, Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's nobody can stop him.
Like, we talk about it. When Pat Mahomes, like when Aaron Rodgers is magical, you can't stop him. It doesn't matter. You can throw whatever you want at him. When a quarterback is feeling the magic, there is no proper defense.
Right.
You know, because even a perfectly defended ball, if it's perfectly thrown, you can't defend it.
Mm.
So when Pat Mahomes is feeling himself, no matter how good the Titans go, they just don't have the firepower. This Tennessee Titans team, putting up 24 points in the AFC Championship game, if you had told a Tennessee Titans fan that in week 12, they'd be like, we're winning that fucking game.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, but you're doing it against the Kansas City Chiefs. They're like, oh, okay, well, hey, we made it to the championship game. That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, we have to keep them down in points, right? Kansas City's good for 30-plus every game.
It's every single time. I'm so looking forward to the Super Bowl because it is offense v. defense. Like, this is the closest we're getting to a binary Super Bowl we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the Titans, whose season ended just a step away from the Super Bowl. Tannehill had to throw it a little bit more, 209 yards, two touchdowns, because Henry, 19 carries, but just 69 yards. That's an average of 3.6 yards a carry. That's just not going to do it.
Which is actually a good average.
It's 3.6 it's fine, but it's, yeah, I mean, what happened was in the last about half hour of the game, he had 2 yards.
Yeah, it was bad. So they, at that point, the Tennessee Titans abandoned the run.
Yeah, they fell behind by like 2 scores, and they decided we had to throw to get it back.
Because you actually really do. Like, when you're down 21-17, they shouldn't have abandoned it there. The fact that the Chiefs were able to pour 14 more points on in the fourth quarter, at that point, there's nothing Ryan Tannehill can do.
No. So Mahomes throws three touchdowns, but passes for under 300 yards. He didn't need to do that much. Watkins, 114 yards in that long touchdown. Hill had two touchdowns. But, yeah, I mean, first of all, I think one of the biggest things in this game was how well the Chiefs' defense played against Henry, first of all, and then anything else that the Titans throw at him. We kind of felt like if Tennessee was going to win, they had to control the ball, and it had to be Henry all day long. And as soon as Kansas City got ahead, it was like, well, can you do that anymore? It was their big signing. Honestly, the Chiefs' defense was so bad last year, and probably the reason why they didn't make it is they couldn't shut down 41-year-old Tom Brady.
Yeah, true.
They go out and sign Frank Clark. They get Tyrann Mathieu.
Honey Badger,
Honey
baby.
Badger. And those guys had a great game for them.
Frank Clark was playing hurt.
Yeah,
pretty much this whole game. Right? He was a guy that they were managing his snap count, but every snap he was out there, he was productive. Tyrann Mathieu is just a fucking Swiss Army knife back there.
Yeah.
There's a couple plays that he made where you're like, I don't know what position you actually are. Are you nickel corner? Are you a safety? Are you a free? Because you hit like a strong safety. Like,
yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu is an absolute jack of all trades. It's phenomenal.
He knows where he needs to be. He also strips that ball out constantly, too. He knows where the ball is.
Ball out hero.
Yeah, he very much is. There was even a play, I want to say it was the Texans game last week and not this one, late in the game where they sent him on a blitz.
Yeah.
And somebody brought it up. They go, oh, you kind of let up there. You didn't hit it. He's like, we were up by this much. I knew the game. I'm not going to light up the quarterback because I can. And it's like, well, there you go. That's the point of the rule. Yeah.
That's a good dude.
That's why we call roughing the passer so players don't do that in games that are over and lost, you know.
Tyrann Mathieu, to me, so this is going back a while to when Tyrann was drafted. He was a guy that people were like, oh, we've got character concerns because he smokes the weed.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, listen, man, I'm not a bad dude. I just smoked weed in college. Meanwhile, Tyreek Hill and Frank Clark are out there getting fucking drafted for abusing women. They don't fucking care. Nobody cares.
And was it so much that Tyreek Hill, was it because he was a weed user, or was it more because the guy was very voice, like, he was out in front of the public and the cameras, rookie on.
Yeah, I mean, he was a boisterous dude. He was, the Honey Badger was something, even in college. Even as a true freshman.
Right.
You're like, there's something about this Honey Badger. He was always undersized. That didn't help him a lot, but from a pure football intellect standpoint, from a pure tenacity standpoint, from an agility standpoint, this dude has been all world his whole life. I'm so glad to see him be successful because of the shit he had to go through for people being like, he smokes the weed. He can't be trusted. I beat my girlfriend almost to death. Were you high?
What's your 40 time?
Yeah.
Anyway.
What do you do? What's your shuttle? I don't know. I was too busy abusing her. That's fine. That's fine. Reasonable. Reasonable. Yeah.
We'll clock you later. So this was a better game of the weekend, honestly, looking back.
Yeah. This was a great first half.
Sure. Yeah. So it was tight the whole way. Yeah.
Tight the whole way. The play action game was really working for Tennessee, especially in the first quarter.
Yep.
You could see the Chiefs were like, oh, shit, we came out to stop the run, but they're running play action pretty effectively off the, you know, you're seeing wide open throws to A.J. Brown down the field.
Yeah.
You were seeing wide open throws by Tannehill. He was reading it well. It wasn't a complicated read, but he was doing it well. And then once the Chiefs took the lead, it was like, well, your play action's not as convincing anymore.
Henry can't run the ball.
We're still going to sell out to stop the run, but once we know that you've abandoned it a little bit, well, we'll back a couple linebackers off and see what you can do. And the answer is not much.
Yeah, so as a 2-score lead late in that game, it kind of felt like, okay, well, Kansas City just needs to milk this and they're going to win it. Tennessee can't really score fast. That's not how they're built.
It's not their
MO. Other than A.J. Brown breaking a couple tackles, nobody's going to get down there. Or Derrick Henry pulling off an 80-yarder. They were kind of praying for something like that to happen.
Yeah, you're praying for a break.
Yeah, good luck. Even with this subpar Chiefs defense, they're a little bit better. They're enough better that they're not going to let that stuff kill them. Late in the game here, it felt like even the refs had a little problem as Tony Romo sitting there going like, well, it's been 12 men on the field. Okay, they ran out of play. They missed that. Oh, now they're talking about it. And it was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. Figure this out. So finally,
the refs were just like, did we get selected for the Super Bowl? No, we didn't. Okay, well, it's kind of half-assed this game.
Yeah, they're checking in with their vacation after this too. So the only other news I have for this one is after the game, the Titans defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, has said that he's retiring.
That makes sense. Dean Pease did a great job this year with the Titans. I think this is going to be a logical next step up for somebody out there.
I mean, this is the Tennessee Titans team that lost their offensive coordinator to Green Bay. He went and he did it all right. He had an okay season.
He did pretty good, I'd say so.
But the Tennessee offense didn't seem to lose a step. In fact, they might have gotten better.
Yeah, this is a well-coached team. This is a well-run organization.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I can say for the Tennessee Titans. That's the negative we talk about going 9-7, going 9-7, going 9-7. But it also means that you're consistently putting out a winning product. You may not be lighting the world out, but you've got a good system. You bring the players in that fit your scheme. And then when you bring in new coaches, you go, don't change the scheme. Just run the scheme that we have. Run this sort of like hybridized Patriots defense, hybridized, you know, run, shoot offense, or whatever the fuck they're running. Just run it. Just run the system. It's fine. It's fine. We're going to be 9-7. We'll make the playoffs.
I think Mike Vrabel is a fine fit there in Tennessee, too.
I think he's a great fit. Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, middle of the season, he had a mustache. You see him now, he's wearing a vest. It's like, oh, yeah, he's just trying to fit into Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, tell you what, I'm a guy you've always seen, and a familiar face.
Just get him one of those 10-gallon hats. He'll be ready to go.
That's right. So the Titans, unfortunately, come up short here. If you're a Titans fan, you're probably on both sides of like, that sucks that we, you know, ended this steps away from Super Bowl, but also kind of playing with house money to get this far.
Yeah, this is Cinderella story that you're just like, can we do it? Oh, no, we can't. That's fine. If you're Tennessee, this is an absolute win.
Yeah, I think
so. To get this far, to say to yourself, hey, any free agent quarterbacks out there? Drew Brees, Tom Brady. You want to come?
Andy Dalton? No.
No, they'd be like, Andy Dalton.
There's this Marcus Mariota guy here is pretty. Oh, have they tried that?
Oh, we did that? Oh, okay, never mind.
Never mind.
We'll move away from the average. But, like, honestly, this is something we haven't brought up too much because people are like, oh, Tom Brady's going to re-sign in New England. If he's not.
Right.
Tennessee Titans are a pretty good landing spot for this dude.
If he has to turn around and hand the ball off and. And they play good defense for him.
And that ball off to Derrick Henry.
Throw it up to A.J. Brown.
You got Corey Davis. You got A.J. Brown. You got a pretty good group of, you know, you got Jonnu Smith who's doing pretty good. You got a pretty good group of targets there in Tennessee. You got a pretty good offensive line in Tennessee, and you got one hell of a running back and a really good defense. If anything, I'm looking at this as Mr. Tom Brady going, not bad for the last hurrah.
He would definitely need a good offensive line, and then, you know, he's a scheme fit type of quarterback, and if that's how Vrabel, you know, the old play teammate of his, is that how he wants to do things.
Tommy, I need you running a lot of bootlegs. And like, what?
Yeah. No, Tommy, don't do that.
Tommy, don't bootleg.
And ever since he turned 40, he talks in third person, so that's Tommy Brady.
Hey, Tom Brady, this is Ricky Henderson. Hey, Ricky Henderson, this is Tom Brady.
Okay, so, yeah, that's the game. Oh, first of all, thinking now Kansas City. Let's talk about them. The way I see this here is go, yeah, okay, so this is the way that most of the time it doesn't work. But if you're a fan, you hope, and you hope that there's something like this is how it works, where you're a Kansas City team, you've gotten better and better. Under Andy Reid, you're moving up a little bit more. You get this awesome quarterback in his youth. You go with just a step away from the Super Bowl, lose in a heartbreaking fashion. Next year, you're there again, and you make it. You do that extra step to go on. As somebody who's seen the Vikings in 4 or 5 championship games, that is not how it usually works.
No, that's what you want. When you're talking about building a program, this is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, turning this team, hey, we got Alex Smith. We're going to move it up. We got to move it up. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got Pat Mahomes. Moving up. Hey, Pat Mahomes got injured, but the team's still good.
We added the defensive players we need.
Moving up.
Yeah.
And now you're here. This is the window.
Yeah.
The window is open. The window shuts quick.
Yeah.
In the modern NFL. If you're looking at this Kansas City team, Pat Mahomes is going to need a contract here pretty soon.
Yeah, and that's going to take money away from other places.
That contract going to be fat.
Oh, it's got to be the top.
The fattest of all stacks will go to Patrick Mahomes, and deservedly so. The dude is just another level right now. So when that happens, this window shuts a little bit for the Kansas City. Now, they'll be a perennial playoff team, but to a degree, I don't ever see them reaching the heights that they will reach under a non-quarterback contract Pat Mahomes.
You got to see, can Pat Mahomes do the same thing with players that aren't like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill if they end up going off or get older and, you know, and hang up their cleats? Because there's a point to that. Yeah, is it them or is it these guys that are such good talents that are getting open for him? Or is Pat Mahomes making all the plays in the backfield there running around and stuff?
Cause I mean, when Tyreek Hill went down, he was still slinging that fucking rock. Now, Tyreek Hill makes him better. Travis Kelce makes him better. This is a team that drafted well.
They added a bunch of speedy Mecole Hardman. I mean, he's just as fast almost.
They got Sammy Watkins in free agency, who's fast as shit as well.
Yep.
This is a team that knows its scheme, that knows what it's doing, but all of that shit runs through the quarterback. It runs through potential next year MVP, Pat Mahomes.
Well, and a very old head coach in Andy Reid, and who knows how long he's going to want to do this, especially if he finally gets this win. The one thing about Andy Reid is you think back and he did this in Philly. He would send them to the championship round almost every week. Now, there would be these heartbreaking losses. So congrats to him making to his second Super Bowl here as a head coach. But, oh boy, yeah, like how much more does Andy Reid have in the tank?
The one knock on Pat Mahomes is Andy Reid is an absolute quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
Absolute. Nick Foles, best years, Andy Reid. Mike Vick's best years, Andy Reid.
Alex Smith's best year was Andy Reid. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Smith. Kevin Cobb was a borderline Pro Bowler before he got his fucking brain scrambled.
They traded him to Arizona for a bunch, right?
Yeah. So, well,
or was it the other way?
That was the other way.
Okay, he went to Philly. Yeah.
No. Kevin Cobb was drafted by Philly.
Okay, and then they gave him.
No, he retired. He retired because of head injuries.
Okay.
So it's just one of those things where like, Andy Reid has always had good quarterbacks. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he just a great talent evaluator, or is he maybe a guy that takes some of the static away from these young minds as they learn the game? It could be a little column A, could be a little column B, but if I got Andy Reid choosing a quarterback, I think I can't lose.
Yep. All right, so we'll talk about the Chiefs and their big game in 2 weeks, but first of all, let's wrap up the games from Sunday. The second one was the NFC Championship game. The Green Bay Packers lost to the 49ers 20-37 in this one.
If you can't have a Vikings Super Bowl, is this second best?
This is pretty nice. I enjoyed it, even though the game itself wasn't that close, wasn't that exciting.
Yeah,
I still
not as
could
fun.
Enjoy it because of where I'm coming from in it. That's true.
From a place of deep emotional pettiness.
Also thinking in terms of how well the Vikings did against the same Niners team.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 10-14 at halftime for us. What was it? I'll have to look up. 27-0 by half. So this score of 20-37, not even that close, this one.
I mean, this one is also one I called last week. Much better.
Let's say that, too. I picked the Packers to win half because I just thought I don't deserve nice things. but, Dan, you called it out saying that like Niners are going to win and it wasn't going to be close, and it wasn't.
And the main reason is because Mike Pettine has repeatedly said, we don't defend the run around here.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. Green Bay is 13-3. How wrong was he?
I mean, all season long, though, we were saying, like, what is with this Packers team? We were afraid of Aaron Rodgers, and it was never really the reason to be afraid of him.
No.
I mean,
it's because this really good pass defense, and then the San Francisco 49ers are like, oh, we don't do that. We throw it to George Kittle, and then we run this motherfucker.
Yeah, and that's all they've done these playoffs. They've taken the ball completely out of Garoppolo's hands, who threw for 77 yards and had initially, at one point, the lowest amount of completions ever in a playoff game. I don't know if he finally went over the six he needed.
He completed six, but he threw eight times.
Yeah, 6 for 8 for 77 yards. That's ridiculous. Rodgers threw 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, but get this, 2 interceptions, and Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over.
No, this defense is really good. This is a very smart secondary with a ton of pressure coming from the front four.
Very fast, too. So as soon as the Niners got up by a bunch, you're like, okay, yeah, good luck trying to run around like Rodgers does to make plays happen.
Yeah, at 20-7, this game was over.
Yeah, he had Adams to kind of throw some balls up to, and Adams had a good game, 9 catches, 138 yards. But Aaron Jones, 83 total yards from scrimmage. He got in the end zone twice, but that's not enough for a guy that was a big part of that offense.
If you think about it, this is a tale of two games. The first game, the 49ers won 27-0. The second game, the Packers barely won 20-10.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really just not enough. Like, you've proven that even on a 49ers team that really lets up the gas in the second half, and boy howdy, they really did. Like, the fact that Garoppolo only attempted 8 passes, you knew how done this game was. Raheem Mostert just ran a fucking train on this group.
And they lost Tevin Coleman, what, second quarter or even
earlier? With it, I wonder what that injury is. I haven't looked it up how bad it is, but it looked terrible. He couldn't even walk.
You would think, they had to get the cart out for him, but it was
for
a shoulder.
An arm injury.
Yeah, something didn't look good. And it makes you think he might not be ready for the Super Bowl. That's
he
a whole
definitely won't
thing.
Be ready for the Super Bowl.
So Mostert, though, didn't matter. 220 yards, all rushing, four touchdowns. The most touchdowns, I think, of any rushing, at least
for
the
Niners. Yeah, this was like the best playoff performance by a running back ever. And everybody's going to be like, who?
Yeah, he's an undrafted player, never picked up. So
Tevin Coleman apparently will be ready for the Super Bowl.
Hey.
It was a shoulder injury. That was described as a lethal weapon type shoulder injury.
Dislocated. Yeah.
So he pulled a Riggs.
Pop it back. Well, if you pull a Riggs, you pop it back in.
You
right
gotta pop it. I hope they've got photos of him going back to the locker room, popping that thing in by
slamming
swinging.
It. Yeah, just slamming his shoulder into the locker.
Remember when Mel Gibson was great?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, bummer.
All right. More about this game. I've got Deebo Samuel, 89 total yards from scrimmage. They use him like a Percy Harvin. It's very impressive how they use Deebo.
Great
in that
pick.
Game.
Great pick for Deebo.
And then Robbie Gould, 3 for 3 in field goals. This is a 49ers team that in the regular season was beating the Packers 23-0 at halftime. So playoffs come and you put up your best game and 27-0. Got even worse for the Packers.
I mean, they are the Packers' kryptonite.
Yeah.
You know, this is a team, basically everybody else in the playoffs, if the Packers had played them, I think the Packers would have done really, really well.
Maybe. Packers have had this history, though, lately in the playoffs of really having a bad game to kick them out.
Yeah, shitting the bed.
The last time they were in the championship game was against the Falcons, and they were down 24-0 at halftime for that one. So there's just, I don't know, it's catching up with them. You got to start worrying about Aaron Rodgers and how much money you're paying him to.
And how many years you've got left on that fucking body.
To what's going to be left here for the Packers. It was nice. I put on the Vikings radio guys on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, after this loss, and they're really enjoying it a little extra themselves. Like, we did this much, and they did. He was like, okay, yeah, we all have to have a little bit of that time there. But I think you brought it up. Mike Pettine didn't want to stop the run.
No.
And the Niners only wanted to run. And after a while, you're like, well, stop us then. Otherwise, we'll just keep doing it.
Stop hitting yourself.
In the game, 42 runs, 8 passes. That was the Niners' offense in this game.
Yeah.
The
literally less than 20% of their plays were passes.
And the Niners want to run the ball. Vikings came in there in the divisional round, and they stacked the box and put a single high safety on there, and Garoppolo started beating us with his arm. The whole first drive was quick little passes, didn't let any pass rush get to him, and he got rid of the ball. You thought at least the Packers would try that a little bit, maybe put some big guys up front. They played their base defense almost the whole game, which is a lot of, it's 3-4, right? And speedy linebackers that they hope would get there, but they're doing these pitches, they're doing these zone runs, and Mostert was just getting 6-7 yards a pop.
The problem with a 3-4 sometimes, if it's a pressure-heavy 3-4, like they run.
Yeah, they want to get to the quarterback.
They're trying to get to the quarterback, which means you don't have the advantage of having 4 linebackers on the second level anymore. Mm. Now you've got 2 linebackers, and if you can get a guard to pull off a lineman and get to that second level, you've got your Sam linebacker and your Will linebacker. Or sorry, not your Will, your Sam and your... what is it? It's weak and strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got your weak side and your strong side. So a lot of times it's the elephant or the right outside. But if you've got your outside linebackers pressed to run, then you basically have 2 linebackers in the center. And if you can shade or get the protection right, especially in a zone run scheme, one of those offensive linemen gets to the second level and basically knocks out that linebacker. It's very difficult to defend the run in a situation like that if you are a pressure-heavy 3-4.
Okay. But it's just... Heading into this last week, as we're talking about these games, and you say this is a weekend where, you know, Henry's running the ball for the Titans, Aaron Jones running for the Packers, but who has the great game but Raheem Mostert? It's Raheem Mostert's day, and it was his to take him to the Super Bowl.
The second half of Raheem Mostert's year was phenomenally good.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about it a little bit, that if Raheem Mostert, if the offensive player of the year voting came down to the second half of the year, it would be Derrick Henry followed by Raheem Mostert.
Yeah.
That would be it. So, and nobody's saying the name Raheem Mostert. They're going to say it a lot more coming up in these next 2 weeks.
He shared the backfield still, though, with Coleman. And so, I mean, we had mostly Tevin Coleman running at us in the divisional round. So Mostert was still he was a second stringer in this game. Yeah he was still going to come in and change it up a little bit here and there, but from the second quarter on, it was just him, and he can put up 220 yards on this team that's in the championship game.
Name a bad running back produced by the Shanahan system.
That's a good point. Okay, so, I mean, you start back when he was with Atlanta.
No, not this Shanahan. Even his daddy. Going back, the Shanahans have the proudest tradition of producing running backs. They have a prouder tradition of producing running backs than Penn State or Miami.
Mike Shanahan, when he was coaching for the Broncos, your list, like, oh, it doesn't matter who's back there.
Yeah.
They had Clinton Portis, and they traded him away one-on-one for Champ Bailey to the Redskins because we'll just put the next guy in.
And Clinton Portis had a really good career, had a really good
he's
next couple years.
Great running back.
Yeah, with the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
But it didn't fucking matter because they're like, oh, we can get another guy in here to rush for 1,000 yards right now.
And they did. They had, like, was it Willis McGahee was the next one or somebody. There was a few years where it's just like, I don't care. Who's the guy back there? Okay, put him in. He's going to get 100 yards.
And so that became a thing where you never paid somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first famous Mike Shanahan running back was Terrell Davis.
There you go. Yeah.
A sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
A sixth-round pick out of Georgia. The fucking guy was nothing. He was a fucking special teams player, but he could do that one cut, that hit, that zone run.
He got him to that Super Bowl they finally won. That was the Broncos.
That's all that fucking matters. And it's one of those things where, like, now you see his son go, oh, that's all you have to do to run the fuck out of the ball is run this little zone blocking scheme, and then you're fine? Shit, I can do that. Take me to the Super Bowl, Daddy.
To bring it around personally again, the Vikings, and they're going to be talking to Dalvin Cook about giving him a bunch of money to stick around and be a top player for him. But you look at what Raheem Mostert just did, and you're like, well, they're not paying anybody there. Do you need to? And there's that age-old question, you know, do we need to pay this guy who plays this position this much money? I think it makes it much easier when you look at the way the Vikings offense is run and you go, well, if without Dalvin Cook, there's nothing. So, yeah, you do pay him.
Yeah, and it also depends a lot on the style of offense that you have.
True.
The Cowboys needed to pay
Zeke.
They needed to pay Zeke.
Yeah.
They had to because the way they run the ball, the way Shanahan run teams run the ball, you don't have to pay any motherfucker anything.
You got George Kittle there. The last two games, his highlight tape has been him blocking. That's basically been
But he's great at blocking.
They're doing great with him. Yeah, in fact, there was a lot of talk into the playoffs of like, well, he's a wide receiver type of tight end. You can't count him to do the other stuff. And he's kind of proving that in these big games. It's like, no, I can do anything you need me to do for a tight end. And now we get a Super Bowl, and I'm going to use this as a segue to the best tight end matchups ever in a Super Bowl. The two top guys.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate. Yeah, Kelce and Kittle. Because when we named the top three tight ends at the beginning of this year, we had Zach Ertz in the three.
Yeah.
But these were the two. You know, I think I had him 1-3. You had him 1-2.
And Ertz was only there because he was going to get a lot of targets from Wentz. And
not
from
because
the
he was necessarily more talented than
he's
kind
of past his prime. Yeah, these two guys are well within it. All right, so that leads us to Super Bowl, Liv Tyler. Super Bowl 54, San Francisco 49ers.
I think we know the name of this episode.
Yeah, versus the Kansas City Chiefs. We might as well name it that. It kickoff at 5:30 Central Standard Time on Fox, February 2nd. Think of that if you are living the Bill Murray Groundhog Day and you are one of the players on this team. You're just going to keep trying it till you get that win, till you get the Super Bowl.
Well, you got to do it.
Or you keep reliving the same Super Bowl.
Just keep going. Keep going.
Great. But here we go. So I've got a lot of stuff for this game. I'm just going to start pitching them out here to you.
Please.
This is the seventh Super Bowl in a row where both teams representing AFC and NFC have come from a bye week. They had a bye week in the playoffs.
Okay.
The bye weeks are so immensely, I can't even talk correctly. They're such a big thing.
So immensely important.
Immensely was the word I'm trying to get out of my mouth. Yeah, they're such a big thing that part of me wants to go back and go, well, shouldn't that be enough? Is there a way to set up these playoffs to not give the two best teams in both conferences an extra week off? To plan ahead and get ready for these things.
That's what you want, man. That's what you gotta have.
I mean, it's definitely a huge thing to fight for. And you're
it didn't help the fucking Ravens.
No, it did not help the Ravens. It helped the Chiefs quite a bit, but it did not help the Ravens.
It becomes a hindsight is 2020 thing where it's like, oh, we shouldn't have rested so much. Or, oh, if only we had another week of rest. Like, no matter what happens, somebody's going to make an excuse. Let's not be the New Orleans Saints about this and start redoing the system just because it didn't suit our goals. Okay. You know?
This is the Chiefs' first Super Bowl appearance in 50 years. Makes me kind of lean towards the Chiefs. I have no affinity on either of these teams. I would usually not go for the team that knocked out my Vikings like the Niners did.
That's fair.
But because I'm already cheering for them the previous week of beating the Packers, it's easier to fall into that.
Sure.
But I still feel like I'm leaning AFC Chiefs then. Now, if the Niners win, I go, ah, see, we got beaten by the best.
The best beat us, man.
We all we needed to do was skip by them. We could have ran it through like the Niners did. But no, I feel like I'm probably leaning towards cheering for the Chiefs in this Super Bowl.
I am cheering for the Chiefs. I think the 49ers are going to win.
Oh, okay.
So I'm cheering for Andy Reid. I hope that I'm wrong.
I'm going to give this a thought. We're going to do a podcast next week. I'll predict a score and a winner then.
Run it through the old noodle strainer.
That's right. I need to see who all. Just now finding out Tevin Coleman's playing. So,
well, that's the difference maker. I want to read a couple names to you.
Oh yeah, please.
So I was looking it up. I'm gonna name. So Terrell Davis had 2,000
yards. We're going back
yards.
To the Broncos running back crew.
Well, just Shanahan running backs. In general.
All right.
Clinton Portis.
Yeah.
Mike Anderson.
That was the guy who slipped in. And Mike Anderson is just this big. I'm bowling ball of a guy I'm going to run down the middle.
You named Willis McGahee. That is correct. Reuben Drones.
Yeah.
Reuben Drones. Tatum Bell.
Tatum Bell?
Had over 1,000 yards for these Denver Broncos during that time as well.
And he couldn't have just been their only running back even that year.
No.
1,000 yards.
No, that I remember that year because it was Tatum Bell, and I was like, who the fuck is this wide load of a dude? But yeah, that was Tatum Bell. There was so many fucking, Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah.
But that's not a Shanahan-led team.
Okay.
But still, the Broncos, they just put up a bunch of running backs for nothing, man.
I mean, they're kind of still doing it now with Lindsey and
Philip Lindsey was a 1,000-yard rusher.
You know.
Yeah, so this Denver Broncos team had a strong tradition of that. The Shanahans started it, and then Shanahan took it to the Atlanta Falcons.
And now San Francisco.
Yeah, and so the Atlanta Falcons had a great running back Tatum or trio there for a little while, and now it's back in San Francisco. So the Shanahans know how to run a zone block.
Okay, so back to Super Bowl. Liv Tyler. Chiefs' first Super Bowl appearance in 50 years. The Niners, now we remember they were there against the Ravens in the
Blackout Bowl.
The Blackout Bowl. It was the halftime show by Beyonce. She just used up all the power.
All that juice.
Boom, and then went out. But they didn't win that one. The Ravens won it, so we go back to last time they won, and that was 1995. That was Steve Young, Jerry Rice.
Take this monkey off my back.
Beating the San Diego Chargers.
San Diego Superchargers.
In the Super Bowl there, the only time the Chargers ever been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they will not return.
And that's nuts, too, when you think about how many good teams they had back when, like, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Philip Rivers playing on that blown ACL.
All right, this is the first Super Bowl in 7 years to not have LeGarrette Blount or C.J. Anderson in it.
I saw that.
I mean,
great.
Unless one of them gets signed.
You never know.
Niners want to get LeGarrette Blount going. Mahomes has 8 postseason touchdowns so far. If he throws 3 in the Super Bowl, that gives him the NFL record for postseason touchdown passes.
Wow, and that's very doable for Pat Mahomes.
3 is like a normal game for him.
It's like mandatory.
And you start thinking about it, like, wow, could he do that without playing the first round of the playoffs? And you're like, well, okay, he gets an extra game, do the Super Bowl, etc. But you'd think some team that went from wild card round through would have some quarterback that's thrown more than that. But turn left, he's right there to do it. You got Dee Ford, who jumped offsides in that huge play against the Patriots in last year's championship game. Pretty much cost the Chiefs that game. You could say it was many things, but that was one of them.
Yeah, definitely a component.
Now he'll be on the other side of the football playing for the Niners.
And they'll
be
like, can we get him? Can we get him to jump? Let's get him to jump.
Let's try, right? He's already come out and said, like, it's just going to be me playing against a lot of my old friends. I don't have a lot of encroachment penalties, though. I promise you. Like, okay, D Ford, okay. This is also Emmanuel Sanders going to be playing for his third different team in the Super Bowl this decade.
Wow, good for you, Emmanuel Sanders.
Steelers, Broncos, and now 49ers.
Great job, Manny.
There's so many players that never had that. So
good. He's good luck. That's a good luck charm.
You got Mostert and D. Williams for the Chiefs, both undrafted, now starting running backs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, wow.
So there you go. Like,
what a valuable position to draft.
Right? Is this a passers league, or does it doesn't matter?
Shanahan's like, it doesn't matter.
We talked about Kittle and Kelsey. They're the first tight ends to both have 1,000-plus yards in the regular season and then meet in the Super Bowl. That's never happened, but tight ends are very much changed through the years. Ever since Gronkowski.
It's kind of a surprise that Gronk never played anybody with over 1,000 yards at the tight end position.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
It's pretty strange.
He just didn't meet another player in there. Even the Eagles one, Zach Ertz didn't have over 1,000,
I guess. Yeah,
I guess must have been close. Kyle Shanahan's career record, including the playoffs currently, is 25-25.
Had a couple bad years with those Niners as they were rebuilding.
Oh, my God.
So.
No, the way that they've come back is nuts. I think, do I have that stat?
This year, them going 13-3, what do they have, 2 wins all of last year or 3 wins all of last year?
Here, I'll give it to you. The 49ers are the first team, this is one of my crazy stats, first team to ever follow a 4 straight losing seasons with 10-plus win season.
Wow. But that's also talking about Shanahan building a culture.
Right. Shanahan was only there for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that you don't go, like, abandon the fucking ship, you know?
It was 2015, 5-11, 2016, 2-14, 2017, 6-10, 2018, 4-12, and then to this year, 13-3, and Super Bowl bound.
Great googly moogly.
Jeez. Back to the Super Bowl stuff. I've got... Oh, so it's the Joe Montana Bowl, if you think about it. San Francisco and Kansas City. However, there is so many more. When I was growing up, quarterbacks, something going on between San Francisco and Kansas City sharing quarterbacks. You've got Alex Smith, just went from San Francisco, Kansas City. Elvis Gerback in the 90s.
Famed quarterback Elvis Gerback.
Steve Bono.
Got to have a Bono sighting.
And Steve DeBerg.
Bono DeBerg. God, Steve DeBerg. We're talking about legends here.
Steve DeBerg was, this is before you and my time, because it was like 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Late 80s. Did he go from Niners to Chiefs? He ended out his career, I think, in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Because I have this memory of us as kids getting the dog to bark because we're playing the Buccaneers. And we're like, DeBerg's got the ball. And the dog's going nuts. He had no idea what was going on, but he was enjoying being involved.
Fucking DeBerg.
San Francisco and Kansas City, there is an interesting correlation there between quarterbacks, and they've certainly shifted a lot of them around.
Pretty impressive.
And also, this is the, and I have to give you this because you know where my affinity comes from. The first Super Bowl between two teams where red is their primary color.
Red Bull. Thank you, Red Bull.
And when I say primary color, there's no pun in that. I got down to the Pantones.
Oh, God.
Pantone 186C, Kansas City Chiefs color, and Pantone 187C is the 49ers.
Wow, that's closer than I thought it would be, but
very
I didn't
close.
Think it would be anything.
Chiefs are the home team. They get all red in this. They get the red home jerseys in the Super Bowl. The Niners on their road aways. The Niners were trying to go to their throwbacks, the all white with the drop letter shadow things that they're doing. But in the postseason, you have to get an okay from the league in order to do that stuff. And this is the No Fun League. Even though that was the uniform that the Niners wore all through their 95 run when they last won the Super Bowl in Miami, all this lines up. NFL says no thanks.
You don't want the Chiefs to lose that small advantage that is being the red team.
Whatever. Be a red team versus a white team. But no, my guess is the ticker at the bottom, you give the Chiefs in red and the Niners will be in gold.
Which is fair. I mean, I would
I
like
can
to
picture
see them
it already. Yeah,
in heavy gold anyway.
Gold pants, gold helmet. The red is just the numbers and the stripes and stuff on there. So yeah. I don't think it'll clash too much. I'm very excited how it's gonna look on the field.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be nice. I think it's gonna be, a lot of dogs are gonna be able to see this and they're gonna be finally happy.
There you go. Not a lot of color. Color
or
blindness
color blind
that's gonna do. All right, so that's what I have so far. For Super Bowl 54, we've got a whole nother podcast because they give us this week off.
Mm-hmm.
to discuss it. So when we come back next week, we can discuss it even more. Also, we'll have the Pro Bowl to go over. So we got plenty of stuff to talk about, skills competition, and more importantly, the Senior Bowl, Dan, that's happening
here. Yep,
that'll
be next week.
So we can touch on a little bit of that stuff. Also, do I believe, is it this weekend that they do the honors?
So they do the honors next week. They do it the week. They do it the day before the Super Bowl. So they do it that weekend in Miami.
We won't have MVP rookies of the year and stuff like that for the NFL until after the Super Bowl. So we'll talk about that with the Super Bowl game. Yeah, that's what I got. I guess we can hit the news next.
Lots of news this week.
Yeah, the one we should start with happened as soon as we were done recording last week. So if we didn't talk about it, it's not because we don't hate the Carolina Panthers.
And specifically, the reason why we did not talk about it, didn't do like, hey, let's just do like a little add-on thing at the end and see if we can splice it in, is that Luke Kuechly deserves some time and attention.
Luke Kuechly retired after the season here, so he won't be back next season. He was drafted 9th overall in 2012. By the Panthers, spent his whole career there as starting linebacker.
And I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, okay.
So I'll make this argument. It's this really the same argument for Patrick Willis and Luke Kuechly. And if you look at their stats, they're stunningly similar.
Absolutely, yeah. And Patrick Willis, so Willis retired.
He retired young. He retired, I think, at 29.
But did he last as many? I mean, Kuechly did 7 years.
Yeah, I think it was
seasons.
The same. I think they had literally the same career, which was crazy. He was the best linebacker in the game, and then Luke Kuechly came in, and he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm out of here. Mm. Luke Kuechly came in, was probably the best middle linebacker in the game for many a year, and he's leaving before the age of 30 for his own health.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy that played his fucking heart out for Carolina, was the defensive MVP. He was the defensive player of the year not long after being the defensive rookie of the year. This is a guy that you can absolutely say, even though he had a shortened career, was a slam dunk draft pick. Yeah. You could have asked for nothing more out of a guy like Luke Kuechly. He played with passion. He played through injury. He suffered one of the most public head traumas in NFL history.
Oh, that was so ugly. Yeah.
It was terrible. It was one of those things where even me, a guy who's like, well, to a degree, you know what you're getting into with football. You know, you know now. It's like smoking. If you smoke now and you get lung cancer, don't cry to me. You know what the fuck is up. At this point, if you play football and you get a head injury, you know what the fuck is up. That was something that made me have to recalculate the damage that I saw.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, you know, sure, that's what happens. That's what happens. Luke Kuechly's brain betrayed him in public. You know, he suffered a traumatic brain injury and came back and played years of really productive football. For him to make this decision now to leave while his health is still relatively good.
Yeah.
Less than a year after a guy like Andrew Luck retires for the same reasons.
I think you're right. I think we're going to see this more and more is the thing.
I think guys are going to basically say two contracts. You know, if you get to the point where you're one of the best in the league, two contracts and then hang it up.
Yeah.
Don't be a guy playing to his 40s or his 50s chasing records or shit like that. Don't be a junior Seau. Don't do it to yourself. Get out when you can get out.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's smart. I think Luke Kuechly is a great player. I think he's going to go down as one of the all-time great Carolina Panthers, if not the greatest current Carolina Panther. I wish him nothing but the best of luck. I think this tremendously hurts the Carolina Panthers defense moving forward because you can't replace a guy like Luke Kuechly.
Nah, it's going to take a while, yeah.
So as they're going through a transition, he probably thought to himself, hey, I owed Ron Rivera a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this fucking new guy. Do I want to put my body through what it's going to go through? And he made the decision to walk away. Nothing but respect. I wish him the best of luck. I think he'll be a great color guy moving forward. So I wish him nothing but the best.
He wants to be a part of the Carolina Panthers specifically. So something coach-wise and, I don't know, scout-wise, something like that. And
one of the smartest linebackers to play in the game, too. There was a story told by Kuechly that when he was a rookie, he didn't have cable in his house. So this is a guy that just got a first-round draft pick's boatload of money coming out of Boston College, tackling machine coming out of Boston College. And he's like, oh, yeah, I don't have cable. They're like, why? You got all these big-ass TVs. He's like, oh, those are for watching film.
No.
That's a guy that loves fucking football.
Yeah.
This guy fucking loved football. And I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss watching him every Sunday.
To love watching football and after 7 years go like, that's it for me? No, yeah.
Something's going on. So I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, hopefully he's all right.
Poor Luke Kuechly. Can't wait to see what he does next.
Another retirement. Romeo Crennel hanging it up. Defensive coordinator, head coach a couple of times, got a couple options there. But he was the defense coordinator for Houston the last few years. He's done, and the talk is that the defensive line coach, Anthony Weaver, is going to step in as defense coordinator.
And that makes sense. I mean, Romeo Crennel is old.
Yeah.
You know, Romeo Crennel is 72 years old. In any other industry in the United States, at that point, you're probably, for like 5 years, same, people are like, when are you?
Same age as Wade Wilson, as Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is a son of a bum, though.
Yeah.
You know, Wade Phillips is a coach's son. He will do this until his cowboy
son
boots
of
fall
a bum.
Off his feet.
Literally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, a guy like Romeo Crennel, I think he's at the point where it's like, has the game passed him by? No. Is it fun for him anymore? Probably not.
Right.
You know, losing a guy like J.J. Watt in the middle of the season, you're like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
there
game
was a,
just...
There was a lot on him, yeah.
These tides turn too fast. I think it might be over for me. So, Romeo Crennel... probably deserves to be. He can't make the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Can you remind me what his head coaching spots were?
He was the head coach of, I believe, the... No, he was the head coach of the Chiefs.
That's right.
Yeah, Romeo Crennel was the head coach of the Chiefs.
Right before Andy Reid.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and he got there, and he had a couple good seasons, and then had a couple not-so-great seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, he was more the defense. He's the guy that... Great coordinator, not a bad coach. Right?
Yeah, he was also the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, okay, so he got a Browns. Yeah. Everybody's got a chance at the Browns.
I mean, you're coming up next, I think.
Yeah.
Because I've already been the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
You have, Belichick has, now it's Stefanski's turn, and then once you know he bottoms out in half a year, I'll scoop in.
Yeah, probably. You know, get that pilot flying J money.
Right. Got a few other, there's another signing for the Panthers. They're going to bring in Phil Snow as their defensive coordinator. If you don't know his name, you're an NFL listener like us. He was the defense coordinator at Baylor and Temple under Matt Rhule. So
yeah, he also recorded the song Informer.
Oh, that's just Snow.
Yeah, by Snow.
Well, Phil Snow knows nothing, so there's that. Oh, the Pro Bowl. This is something interesting. The Pro Bowl is going to experiment with a 4th-and-15 alternative to onside kicks. Now, my first thing is to, why are you kicking onside kicks in the Pro Bowl? But I could
we
see
we really got to get this dub.
Yeah, it's one of these head coaches might give it a try. Who knows?
I mean, shit, if I'm a head coach at halftime, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Onside kicks the whole way.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's give it a shot.
I don't know exactly what that means. Like, you don't get it. Does the players get the ball? Where at the 35? That's weird.
I think you'd probably get it at the 50.
The 50 then, maybe. But this is a proposal that's to be considered for next year's regular season. So what that comes down to is it means that if this works, someone in the Pro Bowl, we could be seeing it again. So it's something to look for if you have nothing else to do and you're going to watch the Pro Bowl.
I'm going to watch the Senior Bowl, and then I'm going to go watch the Pro Bowl. I'm going to have the most non-important football games of my life this Saturday and Sunday.
What happened those last two plays? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
I'll
who gives
up.
A shit?
Yeah,
okay,
I'll be able
good.
To catch up on that. No, the one neat thing about the Pro Bowl last year was those players playing like out of position. You had linebackers catching touchdowns.
That's all it should ever be.
And, yeah.
7-on-7, flag football. Just wear your helmets, nothing else.
This
all
running back's going to play cornerback for
That's
a little
it.
Bit. Why
Just,
not?
You got to do it. You got to play one guy out of position. You got to play one offensive guy on defense and two and an off defensive guy on offense every single play. You got to do it. An offensive lineman and a defensive lineman can't play the offensive or defensive line positions, and it's a 7-on-7. Go nuts. Put them as a safety. See what happens.
Right. No. It all sounds much more fun than what we'll see.
Right?
Yep.
Bring me in, NFL. You know I know what I'm doing.
But you talk about the Senior Bowl. Interesting here, Senior Bowl, there is going to be 115 college football players entering the draft early this year, non-seniors. That is down. Honestly, the most was 2018 with 135 players.
When you think about it, a lot of these guys, some of them are redshirt juniors, guys that have already graduated. So when we talk about like leaving early, some of these guys have already graduated college.
There's no classes for them to go to. Yeah. They're just going to stick around and play another
season. Yeah, these aren't true juniors or like redshirt sophomores. Most of these guys are just guys that are like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm done with college. Maybe I should try my hand at the NFL because what am I going to do? Play one more year at college and take artisanal basket weaving as a course like Matt Leinart did?
Well, I mean, I can see it. You're going to get paid, and it's hard to turn that down and say, no, I'm going to play for free for one more year and put my body at risk and put all these things at risk. But then I think back to my college life, and I go, no, I could have squeezed in one more year and enjoyed myself.
So here's the thing.
Especially if I was a sports star. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I think you would have been squeezing a bit more than a little bit of time out of there, Scott.
Hey-o.
So if the NCAA figures out a way to actually pay players, I think that number drops to like 30. You know, honestly, because a lot of these guys are like, oh, fuck, well, this is a job. Like, this is my job.
Yeah.
So if you've got that guy that's like a redshirt junior, like Jordan Love out of Utah State is a redshirt junior. Now, he might be a first-round pick. He might go in the second round. He's a guy that's kind of a quarterback people are looking at now. If you told Jordan Love, hey, Utah State will pay you X amount of dollars to be a redshirt senior next year and you might be a top five pick, I think he's coming back.
Okay.
You know, so there's not a lot of impetus for these guys to come back unless you pay them.
Yeah, I can see that too. And you're right. You're talking about players that are a lot of, you know, like Luke Kuechly and doesn't have cable. They're in situations where it's like, well, it could help me to get this money now.
Yeah.
And what's the point of staying here when the scouts already know my name?
Yeah, they know my name. They're not going to think I'm... Once you get to the status of top five draft pick, come out.
Yeah.
What's the fucking point?
Right.
If you're like, hey, I'm borderline second, third round, and maybe one more year pushes me up into the first round.
I'm going to be a starter, and get a lot of tape on me.
But really, for a lot of cases, those are only guys that are like, hey, you're not that... You're very athletic, but your film is a little wonky.
Yeah.
If you're a guy who put good film out there, get the fuck in. Get into the NFL, because you're not going to put better film next year, in all likelihood. You might get injured. You might pull a hamstring. You might have some young freshman come up and push you, because guess what? They're not paying you. There's no reason why they got to keep you in that position.
And that's going to be one of the things we're going to be discussing very soon, right? The combine is going to be middle of March in Indianapolis.
Late February.
Indianapolis. So yeah, we're going to get a couple episodes, maybe one or two episodes in after the Super Bowl, and here we go. Here comes all the college kids, all the young guys.
It's the meat farm, bro. It's the meat farm. So you're right. My apologies. It ends on March 2nd. So it starts Sunday, February 23rd.
So we're both wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. And then finally, any weight, Dan, to the news of Brady clearing out his locker or Rivers moving the whole clan to Florida?
No. I mean, he had his fucking house in San Diego.
Yeah, it's still in San Diego. Well, Florida's a little bit further away than L.A.,
but San Diego is about as far as Florida, like when you really think about it.
San Diego to L.A.? No.
Well, so you got to drive that whole fucking distance
versus
I'm just going to get on a fucking plane and go to Florida?
Or a quick flight from San Diego to L.A.
Sure. But
you don't want to fly in LAX? Is
I don't
want to
fly in LAX. That's another 5 hours. Come on, man.
The traffic around
the
LA.
The traffic's ludicrous.
Oh, my God.
Give me a private plane. Get me the fuck to Florida.
But this doesn't mean Rivers is retiring. This doesn't mean Brady's selling out. Been told by New England, we're not going to bring you back.
I don't think it means that Philip Rivers is retiring. I think it means he... I think Philip Rivers is done in LA. I think he is. I think Brady may or may not be done in New England, depending on what they do contract-wise.
Don't you feel like Brady and the Patriots have already had this conversation that we're the only ones that don't know? They know... behind the
doors.
I mean,
that's the most Patriots thing in the world.
Right.
Now, you also got to remember, we talked about it before, that the Patriots were in this fucking filming scandal thing.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL might be like, hey, that's fine. We'll keep this under wraps, but Tom Brady's going to leave. Because what would be more exciting for the NFL? We talked about it like, you know, Jordan getting suspended from the league for gambling. This is the same sort of thing. They'll be like, hey, we're going to keep everything hush-hush.
Just Brady can't play for
you. But Brady won't be a Patriot anymore. And they'll be like, oh, motherfucker.
So you'd have to take that deal if you're the Patriots.
You'd have to. You'd be like,
or you call the NFL's bluff. Because it looks just as bad in the NFL if the team that's been winning over and over again has been cheating this whole time.
Yeah, because they're complicit. But I think this will be the negotiations. You go, hey, this is a way for Tom Brady to walk away.
It's a neat way. And it'd be very interesting to see Tom Brady, you know, playing wherever, New York Jets next year. But
just remember, if it happens, you heard it here first.
Okay.
On the Push Off Podcast.
So we're just throwing things to the wind and going, but if it happens, I'm a genius.
Come on.
All right.
I called that San Francisco Green Bay game.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, we got about
Scott
for
also
that.
Beat me in picks all year, but don't think about that. Think about the recency.
What have you done for me lately? Yeah. All right, that's the show. That's what we got for this week, because there's only two games and we got a Super Bowl.
We
to talk
still
about
squeezed
next week.
An hour out of the show.
Oh, yeah.
With two games.
But thank you guys so much for sticking around and listening to us here. We're very excited for Super Bowl 54.
Oh,
Super Bowl
wait.
Liv Tyler. We will be discussing next week too, a little bit more of the Super Bowl and all the stuff that happened, the Pro Bowl, Senior Bowl, all that good stuff. Any news that broke between now and next weekend, or next week when we record again.
And watch 911 Lone Star. This Push Off podcast brought to you by 911 Lone Star.
I'm not going to watch Tyler. That shit.
This is why we don't get promotional
offers. This is why we don't get promotional offers. It's a Fox show. It's never going to last.
Yeah, no, but I didn't think 911 would last.
True. No.
So
I think if it's not animated, it's a very good chance it's not going to last.
That's probably true.
But yeah, no, thank you guys for listening to us. We do the show every week. We'll have another one out probably on Wednesday too next week, right before the Super Bowl. So keep an eye on that. And then, yeah, look for different days to get this episode once we hit the off season. But we do the show once a week, and there's many other shows to get a listen to that is on universehead.com.
It's a good network, man. There's too many good shows out there.
Ours is thepushoff.com, so check out all of the past shows at thepushoff.com. If you had a good season and you just didn't make it to that Super Bowl but you want to relive it, what a better way to do it than going back and listening to this season.
Just pick your biggest win of the season and go back and listen to it. It probably wasn't on the 2 minute no offense.
Right.
But if you're a Browns fan, don't go back and listen to any of them. I mean, it's just too just go back and listen to the fucking Ravens-Browns game. That's all you can do.
This is episode 24 of our season 3.
Yeah.
Not bad. So we have a couple more for the Super Bowl, 26 or whatever, and then God, by the time we're done with this, it's near 50, so...
Yeah, we get to about 50 episodes a year.
We have a lot on the off-season, so stick around right here is what I'm telling you.
We do as much work... We do more work in the off-season than we do during the season here at the Push-Off.
Perhaps. There's a lot of games that we need to watch in some of those regular seasons.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, take a listen to it, and if you got any friends that are just as nerdy as us and you with football, tell them about us. Get them a listen, and we would love you for it.
And we promise if you do choose to allow us to do your sponsored promotions,
yep.
We won't talk about how shitty your show
is. No, I'll watch it. I swear I'll watch it. You give me some money, 911 San Jose, whatever. I'll give it a shot. Oh my God!
It's gonna be like a Law and Order. Where it just goes down the line.
I feel like they are. Yeah, it's like the Chicago
Men, Chicago Fire, Chicago tour guides,
911 Hoffman Estates.
Sorry, this is Sears. Wait, you're trapped in a Sears?
All right, Dan. Crazy stats. Here we go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's wrap this up. Andy Reid joins Bill Belichick in being the only head coach of beating all the 32 teams twice.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's really fucking impressive, actually.
And it took, I guess, this championship round and beating the Titans to do it.
You gotta beat him twice. He had a terrible record against the Titans. So good for you for cleaning it up, Andy.
Finally did it, for the second time. Also, Andy Reid, if he wins this Super Bowl, it'll be his second ring because he got it as an assistant with the Packers in 1996. But it'll be his second ring, his 222nd win. And, of course, all this takes place on 2-2-2020.
Oh.
Deuce is wild for Andy Reid.
If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, he becomes a top five all-time head coach.
Oh, that's what you're saying, top five.
I'm saying he becomes a top five all-time head coach, and I will have that argument with anybody.
No, I think that's very smart. Yeah, give him a ring. Yeah, it's got to get in
there. Moves you up that list quite a bit.
Damian Williams has the third most postseason touchdowns of all active players in the league right now with 9.
Damian Who needs Kareem Hunt, man?
Jeez. And then I gave you the 49ers stat about how bad they've been up until this. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it will be the first season since 2011 that there won't be an Oregon Ducks player winning a ring.
Good. Fuck them.
I think a lot of those lose LeGarrette Blount, but you see what I'm saying?
That's true, yes.
Since the merger, this is a question now, Dan, and the last one I have for the show. All right, since the merger, only 4 head coaches have won a championship game in both conferences. Can you give me these 4?
Since the merger.
Yeah, so what the, 1970 merger or whatever it was.
Who has coached? I'm going to say Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells, Giants and Patriots. Yeah. Obviously, there is a new one. That's the reason why I'm bringing this up.
What are you talking about, Andy Reid?
Andy Reid,
well, yeah,
Eagles and Chiefs. All right. Well, they're those are 2 of the 4.
Okay.
You got 2 more left.
God, it's going to bother me.
One of them is probably near the beginning of your watching. You know what? For me, I only saw him make it in one of them. This is winning championship games too, not winning Super Bowls. And then another one is definitely in our wheelhouse here.
Give me the juice.
All right. Dan Reeves.
That's the early one. Yeah, Falcons and Broncos.
The Broncos one was like early, back in 20s.
Those the 1920s?
No, the 20s Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
We're in Super Bowl 50, whatever now. That was like 27.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Who was in the 80s?
The other one, John Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina Panthers and Denver Broncos.
And they got fucking rolled in. Well, they got rolled in the Denver one, and they lost a heartbreaker.
Yep.
For the fucking Patriots.
Yeah, so he hasn't won a one.
Yeah.
All right, that's the show for this week.
That's a good stat, buddy. That's right, isn't that a good one? That was a brain burner.
All right, but thank you guys again for listening. Dan, close us out. Any parting words of wisdom?
The Super Bowl is the reason for the faith, but the Pro Bowl is the reason to yell, "What the fuck are you doing?" at the NFL loudly and with no worries that you're offending the players. The players don't care. Do yourself a favor. Watch the Pro Bowl, and if you smoke the drugs, smoke the drugs while you watch it. I don't, but I can't imagine doing anything more fun than watching the Pro Bowl high. So go ahead, have yourself some fun. It's going to be a shit show. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it's actually fun. But, yeah, can't wait, guys. Can't wait.
It's legal in Illinois now, Dan. You've got no excuse.
I do. I don't want to do it.
And lung health, I guess. Anyways.
Yeah, you know me. I'm a real health nuts guy as I drink this Mexican Coke.
But you just said that you couldn't picture any more fun, so
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Better hit up your local dispensary. All right, guys, that's our show for this week. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
Thanks for listening. We will see you next week. We'll talk more about Super Bowl 54. Have a good one.